Yale.
Just checking in with you, see what's going on.
Oh, very pretty girls walking by.
Oh, that's nice.
She's wearing too many clothes, though.
On a hot day?
It's not that hot. It's only like 83 here.
Yeah, that's still too much. Well, I don't know. I guess too much clothes is any clothes.
Exactly.
That's right.
Not like the girl walking her dog yesterday when, you know, like, she probably had to pay a fortune for the two Band-Aids and the, you know, baling twine.
It's crazy. Some people, you know, I guess if you got it, you might as well flaunt it.
Exactly.
All right, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're 20-something, you can do that.
Yep. Well, always good to read the menu, even if you're not
You
buying anything.
know, for me, it would be like the dog catching the car. Okay, now I got it. What do I do with it?
I was telling my wife I had a weird dream last night that I was getting married to this really hot-looking Asian girl, and my wife
Yep.
was with me in the dream, and I kept looking at her. I says, "You're okay with this?" And I'm thinking to myself, "What am I going to do with her?" I'm thinking to myself,
Exactly.
and I woke up, and I was just really upset. I says, "I don't want to be married to anybody but my wife." I said, and people in my dream were like people from my office and stuff like that. They were all like looking at me and like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I'm thinking to myself, "How the hell did I get into this mess?"
Right. Yeah.
And
I've always said,
I woke up and I hugged my wife.
I've always said that, you know, if God forbid something ever happened to my wife, there's no fucking way I'd ever get married again. No, not even a small chance of that happening.
Just know how I would deal with it. I don't know if I could adjust to somebody new, you know.
Yep. I mean, I was single for a long time, but married almost 40 years. Yeah,
Yeah.
I just want to be single for a long time again. If something were to ever happen.
Yeah,
Hopefully
yeah.
not.
I don't think I'd want to be alone, but I don't know if I'd want to be married either.
I definitely don't want to be married. I know I don't want to be alone, but I definitely do not want to be married. I'm not going to make the same mistake my father did.
Yeah. What did your father do?
Well, he got married again after my mother died.
Yeah. Oh, and it was a bad thing?
It was not good.
Oh.
I mean, it was fine for him. It was horrible. You know, she was just a real piece of work.
Yeah.
Real piece of work.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yep. But it
Okay,
has
we're
been
talking.
dreadfully quiet.
Is it? I'm hearing that
Dreadfully.
from a
I
lot
mean,
of people right now.
I had a nice conversation with a guy today, but who knows where it's going to go. You know, I just had some designs done. You know, a woman came in for to about a remount, and you know, got all the CADs done and fucking crickets. And it's just been, I mean, I got a couple of projects going
Right.
on, but nothing.
Not
Most, yeah, most.
there's no business. There's no, you know, where you
No.
stay busy all day. You know, you got some
No.
things enough to keep the doors open and everything, but it's a long day every day.
It is. I mean, the repairs have been active.
Yeah.
Even the buying has been pretty meh. While I'm waiting for GIA, my dentist actually is wanting to possibly liquidate his mother's stuff. And the two main events, breathing, I did not sleep on Monday night until knowing that I had a 525 and a 363 pear shape on their way to GIA.
Oh, wow.
Right. Yeah.
Yikes.
And
Was
I'm
that
263, I'm sorry, not 360, 263, 525 and a 263
okay? All right. So,
pear shape.
did you? They were received. They're good.
They were received. Oh, yeah. I was very happy when I got that notice from GIA that they were in possession.
Any pre-grade on it?
I'm going to call the five and change a European cut pear shape, probably high SI1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other pear shape, but the color is going to be better. Marginal SI1, SI2.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. This woman was very much into pear shapes.
Right.
Because I also have here that I didn't bother sending out to for a port, a pair of matched 3/4 pair earrings and about a carat and change pear shape on a chain.
Hmm.
Plus a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what that big pear shape comes back.
Did you buy these already, or are you?
I have not. No. Oh God, I don't have that kind of money.
Okay. All right.
Because if it does come back a European cut pear shape, there's demand for those stones out there.
Yeah, it's weird how we're getting more calls for old mine and Euro cuts on steadily. You know, I think
yeah, well,
for nostalgia.
Well, I'm making a ring now. Customer brought me grandma's old mine cut, cushion-shaped old mine cut, and he wants to make a three-stone ring. And I managed to find a pair of matched old miners that match the center stone.
Wow.
Where do you
find those?
There's a guy in New York, Robert Moskowitz,
mm-hmm.
Who seems to be, well, first of all, he sells them for normal prices as opposed to the other dope. God, what's his name?
I'm not sure.
There's a guy in New York who pretty much for a long time had the old mine, old Euro market cornered.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you went to sell him a stone, he'd offer you, you know,
nothing.
70 back, but if you wanted to buy it, you had to buy it at 10 back.
Right.
But this other guy, Moskowitz, who I found, very fair. I mean, these are both GIA, one was an IBS-1 54-pointer, the other was a 58-pointer, but they were dimensionally the same at like 15.50 a carat.
Oh. Can't beat that.
Which was, I thought, a very fair price for the stones.
Did you ever check with, like, I would have thought like somebody like a Wilkerson would have access to that stuff, dealing with old estate shit and buying all that stuff?
No, they offload all that stuff.
Do they? They get rid of it themselves?
Yeah, they get rid of it. Yeah, they don't want it. They just want modern stuff that if they have to supplement a GOB, they bring it in, but they...
Right.
They don't want it.
I would have thought that just their access to that kind of stuff, you know, that would have been, you know, a nice pipeline for somebody.
Yeah, they wouldn't even be close to the top of my radar for that stuff.
Yeah.
Moskowitz I bought from him. Somebody wanted a warm. I got like a color.
Yeah.
A pea color old Euro for a customer about a year ago.
Literally and actually?
Yeah, it was a pea color. I wish it were a pea color. That would be really worth some money.
Right.
But yeah, it was a pea color VS2 150 Euro cut. You know, that's what the customer wanted. We put in a bezel and out the door. Thank you very much.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's... why can't I think of that guy's name in New York? It's the old mine king.
Right.
Anyway, he's just, like, so expensive.
Right. Well, when you kind of corner that market for a while, you get out of whack.
And then, you know, it's like, okay, now what do I, when I get this 5-carat back, it's like, all right, what do I tell them I can possibly get for it? You know, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, well.
You know, I figure there'll be a couple people would keep it as a European pair.
Right.
And the rest of the world, you know, if the color and clarity comes back, right, they'll recut it.
Yeah.
as long as they can hold 5 carats.
Yeah. It's the number of times you're going to get a call for an old European pear shape, you got to have pretty deep pockets to sit on that. And so, yeah, that doesn't, you know, I can see why there's not a whole lot of that shit out there, because who wants to sit on that stuff unless you buy it at a stupid price, you know?
No, and that's going to be the trick. And the other pear shape I don't want either. I mean, I have 2 pairs in my safe right now, a 180 and a 155. Well, the 155 is actually set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they're losing money every day. I'm losing money every day on all the diamonds I have, just like everybody else is.
Yep.
It's nuts. I mean, the intellectual part of my brain says, get rid of everything, just package everything up and see what kind of offer you can get on everything you got in the safe. And the other part of my brain says, well, maybe, you know, as naturals are starting to get a little more active, the prices will come back a little bit. So I don't know what to do.
Do you do something? Do you do anything online? Any like social media
No.
thing? Any of that stuff?
I'm working with this woman now that did the Facebook live, the Instagram live in my store.
Right.
That went very, very well.
Yeah. Cool.
We did the Instagram live, and you know I was outside most of the night because we had this downtown Natick thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I came in, I'd come in every once in a while, and how's it going? Yeah, it's really busy, really busy. And, you know, at the end of the night, I said, how'd it go? I said, I think we did okay. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, in my brain, I'm thinking, oh, she did $3,000-$5,000. You know, if it gives me $3,000-$5,000, that to me is really nice. That's kind of like found money.
Yeah.
She walked in the Wednesday after the Facebook Live, and she said, okay, everything's shipped. I collected and everything. Here's your check. $14,121.
Holy crap.
Right?
How many times can you go to a well for that?
She says it will only get better.
Really?
Yes.
And it won't tap out like that?
She has thousands of followers.
Huh.
And there were 200 people on the Instagram Live.
How did you do it? How did you get it set up? Did she come to you or you found her?
She came to me. She started coming to me for her pairs.
Right.
And then we start talking about what she does, and so I gave her some stuff. She said, I do these antique jewelry shows, so I gave her some stuff, and, you know, she took it, and she came back and brought back the stuff she didn't sell and gave me $3,000-$6,000,
mm-hmm.
Which was fine. You know, I tell her what I want for the stuff, and whatever she makes, she makes. And then if she makes over, like if we have a piece that I say I need $1,000 for, and she said, well, I'm going to sell it for $1,400, and it goes for $2,000, we split those $600.
Can't beat that deal.
And she's down in New York. I guess there's some kind of fancy antique jewelry event going on in New York this weekend. And yeah, I sent a bunch of stuff, about $25,000 down. You know, what I want is $25,000
right.
with her. And she said, yeah, they love the idea. You know, she pre-sold that I'm going to my jeweler and he's opening his safe. And she starts her Instagram Live in my safe room with the safe open.
Like you find around for stuff.
And then pans out. And it was wild.
Huh.
And the beach melted it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, she came here Monday because I got an account for a call from my accountant last week and saying, you got to start selling some of your shit. You can't be sitting on all this stuff.
How did she do with giving you $14,000? How did she do? Do you have any idea?
She said she adds about 20%.
So she made about $3,000.
Yeah, $3,500. Yep.
Huh.
And she could have made more. I don't care.
Yeah. No, I know. I was just
curious. The more she makes, the happier I am.
It's just one freaking night. You make $3,000 one night doing some fun thing.
Well, it's a lot of work. I mean, she spends hours preparing.
Right. Okay.
But we were here Monday. I told her I got to go through all my bags because I got to send some stuff out to the refiner. And I said, if you want to meet me here Monday afternoon, you can go through the bags with me and you tell me what you think can be sold, and it doesn't have to be on the next one. We can just keep it for future. And we stood here for 3 hours, and we went through all my bags, and she pulled out probably 150 pieces.
So that was the stuff you were going to send for scrap?
That was the stuff I was going to send for scrap.
Good Lord.
Yep.
Good Lord, what a freaking...
All the stuff she sold was all stuff I was going to send to scrap.
That's nuts. Well, what's the old saying? One man's trash is another man's treasure.
And she's got the following.
And she obviously she's been around it enough to know how to hype it.
Oh yeah, and she knows her shit. I mean, this is one smart lady. I mean, she's a Cornell grad.
Right.
No flies on her. And unfortunately, now we're becoming friends and we talk about a lot of stuff.
Right.
From where we're talking, Monday, you know, she's telling me how, you know, she really didn't want to get married, and then she met and fell in love with her husband, and she got married, and she really, really didn't want kids, and her husband said, no, we really, really have the kids. So the long and short of it, because she had children older, unfortunately, one of her kids is autistic and the other one has some other issues.
Right.
And she said, I can't work a real regular job.
Right.
I would buy your store if I could work a real job.
Sure.
In a heartbeat. You know, I'd buy your store. But she can't because she has to be, you know, dealing with her kids and the appointments and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So this is how she makes money. She's also... does some jewelry work. She's a great wax carver, and she does enameling, hard enamel. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very talented, very, very smart young woman.
Interesting. Cause I mean, if she does this once a week and does other things on the side, you know, she's making herself. You know,
oh, she's always selling. I mean, she's she posts stuff. I mean. I had a Piaget watch that all the watch dealers say there's no market for it, and she sold it for me for $1,000.
Damn, what a find!
Yeah, she has people that follow her,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I'm thinking shit, you know, and I want to retire, really.
How did she develop her following? Did she tell you?
Slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly, going around, going to these different shows, being active,
mm-hmm.
You know, just like me, you got to be able to write the check.
Right.
And you got to take the chaff with the wheat.
Yep.
You know, there's plenty of buys I've made, but, you know, there's one piece in there I want, and I don't want any of this other shit, but I will pay extra to get the piece I want.
Sure.
She's pretty much the same way.
Right.
And I'm hopeful that our next one, I've got a deco diamond bracelet with 20 some odd carats of diamonds in it and platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's been teasing it for a while, and we're going to feature it in the next, I overpaid for it by a lot.
Right.
But if you know, even if she can get me $21,000-$22,000 for it, I'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll take a $3,000-$4,000 haircut on it. But
does she have that kind of following to spend big
She
money?
Does.
Okay.
She does. Oh yeah, yeah. Yep, well, you know, the woman that bought the Piaget watch for $8,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she's the type of woman that might buy this bracelet.
Right.
You know, other stuff.
All right. Well,
whatever, but unfortunately, you know, well, at least we got the emerald cut.
Actually, that's true.
I'm going to send half the money out for that tomorrow, I hope. I'm just waiting for, hopefully, I was sent, a ring was returned to me help me pay for the ammo cart. We had a match. She lost one of her sapphires. We had a match of sapphire, fixed the other sapphire, fixed the ring, blah, 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 blah. You know, but the whole thing's $3,000 by the time I'm done. So it's a nice job, and that'll help pay for that camel cut.
Very cool. And
that should be sold, I hope, Tuesday.
Very nice. Well, if there's anything else I can do for you, let me know.
Well, you know, I didn't hit that Powerball last night, but somebody did.
Somebody did. I know it wasn't me either.
I don't even know what state that they were in.
No, I don't. I didn't check. I saw that it was down to $20 million again, so I said, well, somebody won it.
Yeah, no, they talked about it on the news this morning. But somebody, they didn't say what state it was, and I do know that two people in Massachusetts hit for $1 million.
Nice.
And I don't think I was one of those either. I'm pretty sure I only missed by 6 numbers.
Yeah. I saw something. What's the second chance thing? I don't even know what that is, but I had 3 of those numbers. I don't even know what it was, but it wasn't worth anything because I took the thing to just scanned it and it says not a winner. So whatever the hell.
Okay. I was just off by 6. Not so bad.
Yeah.
well, and you know, I'd laugh at people and say, well, I only buy when it's a big one.
Right.
And I'm like, you mean $20 million wouldn't change your life?
You know what? I don't even think about it much until I hear a bunch of hype on it. Then maybe I'll buy one because I don't really pay attention to it. You know, things are fine.
I buy twice a week.
Do you?
Yeah. I spend my $4 for 2 tickets.
Is that twice a
week?
Same numbers all the time?
No, Quick Picks.
Okay, Quick Picks. Yeah.
Quick Picks. So you know, I spend my $8.
Yep.
And you know. That's a tall cappuccino at Starbucks, which I never buy. So,
I couldn't spend that money at Starbucks. Overpriced coffee is not my thing.
Well, that's why I don't buy it. But you know, if I did, you know, it would be $8, and it's like somebody's got to win.
That's right.
Somebody's got to win. You can't win if you don't play. And as I say, $20 million is certainly life-changing money to me.
Oh yeah.
You know, $1 billion is also life-changing money. I don't know that I'd even want it.
I would give most of it away. At 74 years old, what the fuck am I going to do with $1 billion?
Exactly. I'm 73 years old.
Yeah.
What, you know, buy my kid, pay off the mortgages on the houses that my kids already own, and the one that doesn't have a house, buy him a house.
Yeah. I would do something like that, and then philanthropic stuff.
Buy a house. Buy a house for Gretchen and I in Israel, and you know, probably upgrade my car. I would be driving the Porsche now.
Yes. How is that Porsche doing?
I would be driving my the Porsche Cayman for sure.
That's a nice. I drove one at one point. I actually, when I left RDI and went to a different company, that was like 20 years ago almost now, I think, probably 18. I borrowed the owner of the other company's car to drive to IJO headquarters in Connecticut, right? Yeah, Connecticut.
Yep.
And I drove his, and it was gorgeous. What a nice ride.
You know what? It's nice.
Yeah.
But frankly, I'd rather have Michael's 69 Camaro.
Yeah. Yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, that's a nice car too. Yeah.
You know, given the option between the two, I'd much rather the Camaro than the Porsche.
Well, but you know what? What's nice about the Porsche? It was like driving my living room.
Oh, for sure.
It was just crazy. I've never owned a car that was more of a luxury type of car. I've owned sports cars mostly. You know, so sports cars are kind of commonplace for me. But
yeah.
As far as a comfortable ride, holy crap, I could fall asleep behind the wheel easily with that thing. It was just
well, and the other thing, of course, I would do is drop my Mustang off at the body shop and say, do whatever you got to do.
Do it all. Yeah. Well, that's
do it. Do whatever you got to do. Just get it done.
I want this to look
like it just came off the showroom floor when you're finished.
That's the way mine looks right now. That after I got it painted, it looks unbelievable right now.
Yeah. No, I would want all the body work done, all the door skins, all the, you know, the floorboards. Take the engine out, take it apart, rebuild it.
Yeah.
All that shit. And I want it to look just like, and I don't want anything fancy. I don't want fancy paint. I don't want any of that shit. I just want it to look just like it looked when it came off the showroom floor.
I had the engine, the top half of the engine rebuilt 2 years ago. Had the a new transmission put in it last year. And it's got a stainless steel exhaust system.
I had my transmission rebuilt 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So the transmission's fine. The engine, I mean, the engine's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't mind having it, you know, new rings and dowels and all that other shit and, you know, painted and make it look like it just came off the factory.
It's still fun to drive it. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, he's driven. He says, I've been up to 80, 85, you know, and I said, I'm a little leery of going that fast anymore. And I said, yeah, I understand that. I don't have my same reflexes, but when I'm on 390 heading into the southern tier, when I'm go to play golf and stuff, there's big stretches there that are wide open. And it's a four lane, but it's two lanes, big distance between the two lanes and the other two lanes. And so I've got it up over 100 several times when I'm driving because I just like it. And it's just as nice going from 60 to 80 as it is 80 to 100. It's nice.
Well, 65 in my car is plenty fast.
Oh, yeah.
I will do 100 in my Q5 without any problem.
Yeah.
But 65 in my car at its age with the top down is more than fast enough.
Oh, yeah. What's that? For me, it's like when I'll pass a car.
I can't even do 100. I don't know that my car would do 80.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because when I'm driving along and I might be doing 70, 75, and I catch up to a car that's doing maybe 70, and I want to go around it. Instead of taking my timing, you know, and speed up to like 75, 80, maybe 82, 83 to go around it, I'll just hit the accelerator, and I look down, and I hit 90, 95, and it's like, oh, this is fun. Let's see how far. Let me just see how long it takes to get to 100, and it's just another couple of seconds, and then I'll pull back in again. Just safe spots where I know that there's not going to be any trouble or there's no cops around.
I don't think my car can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. My Mustang, fastest I think I've ever had it is 70.
I've had this one up to 108.
I think that was the limit for that. You know, once again, my Audi going up to Bar Harbor, Maine a couple of years ago on those 45, 50 mile stretches where it is just straight interstate.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's just the fun of it, just once in a while do it, just to see what it'll do. But I don't get it over 100 anymore. I'll get it
too,
up to
too
about
scary.
100. Yeah, it is. It is, but,
too scary.
It's just in a couple of different places that I can drive it where I know that I can do that without having to worry about anything. But I don't do it. I very seldom. But when I drove to Boston a few years ago, I took the Mustang, and I had it up to, I think, 85 is the max I drove it when I was driving up there, just because, you know, I don't know what it was. I think when I did that, it wasn't long after I had some kind of surgery. I was just not as comfortable. Now I'm back to being comfortable again driving a car fast.
Okay.
So, anyway,
I'm comfortable driving my car fast. I'm not so comfortable driving my other car fast.
I get it. All right, my friend.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you.
Yep, bye-bye.